One Illinois school district spends more than $9,000 a student, while another spends less than $4,000. Everyone wants their school to provide a good education, but are you willing to pay more? In today's final segment on education funding in Illinois, Cameron Klein will look at Governor Edgar's education reform bills and the role of politics.
Legislators have to figure out how to tailor reform legislation to fix the unique problems in the state's cities, suburbs, and rural districts. City and rural schools are aging, and the suburbs can't keep up with their population growth. To complicate the problem, each region has a unique source of taxable revenue. Governor Edgar's senior advisor, Al Grosbol, says the situation is very complicated.
The dynamics in support of something and the dynamics against something get very complex. One of the biggest things that we deal with in this state isn't merely the business of Democrats versus Republicans, but it's the regional issues. It's the city of Chicago's interest, it's the suburban area's interest, it's downstate's interest.
In T.E. Culbertson Elementary School, part of Joliet's financially strapped District 86, first grade teacher Ardith Neal reads to her students as they huddle together on the reading rug.
Once upon a time, there was a field. It was a particular field in a particular place, where it lived among young hills that would grow up to be mountains. Across from this field, there lived a man who loved it.
Governor Edgar's senior advisor, Al Grosbol, says statewide reforms began with the past president of the University of Illinois.
Well, the beginning of the education reform proposal really starts with the Eikenberry Commission. In 1995, Governor Edgar asked Stan Eikenberry, the former president of the University of Illinois, to head up a commission to look at how we fund education in this state.
He wished he could buy the field. Then it could always stay a field. But he had a problem. And do you know what the problem was? Very good. He didn't, but he had very little money. He counted what he had, and it wasn't enough. So the man sold his
field. Well, in 1996, an effort was put forward in the General Assembly to adopt the Eikenberry Plan, and specifically an effort was made to pass a constitutional amendment. When the news media got hold of this, they labeled this as a tax initiative.
Still, he didn't have enough. What could he do?
Senator Lawrence Walsh says the plan never made it out of the Senate Finance Committee.
It was brought to the Senate, and Senator Pate Phillips had it go before the Revenue Committee, and at that Revenue Committee meeting, Senator James Claiborne from down around the St. Louis area was the sponsor of the bill, and he brought it up for a vote that morning, and it was defeated by a 6-4 partisan vote.
Like the man in the story, Governor Edgar's senior advisor Al Grosbol says optimism will keep reforms alive.
There were many legislators that were impressed by the tremendous amount of support that was shown last spring. And as a result of that, I think that there is a greater openness to accomplishing something this fall.
The man in the story got a return on his investment because he sold his pumpkin crop and bought the field. Unfortunately, optimism didn't pay off during the fall of 1997, when a last-ditch effort was made to increase education funding with a third version of the Edgar Plan. This version, through a variety of small taxes, tried to increase education funding and establish a minimum funding level. The plan failed. New funding can be created by increasing taxes, but according to University of Illinois Government and Public Affairs Professor James Ward, that's not very popular.
Legislators from both parties don't want to go before the voters in the fall of 98 saying that they had approved a tax increase. We have a lame duck governor. We have a lot of unsettled political positions at the state level for the 1998 election. We're going to have a number of primaries in the spring. Everybody's going to be jockeying for position for the statewide election.
Legislators have to pick their battles and choose something to fight for. Governor Edgar keeps trying because reform is important to him.
Well, there's a need. We have too many school districts in this state, too many school children who don't have the opportunity for quality education because they don't have adequate funding.
Is the problem a lack of legislative guts to stand up for education, or is it the nature of the system? Illinois Urban League Vice President James Lewis says it's not about guts, but values.
There's a major collision of values here, in the state, and it really comes to roost on this issue because it's an issue that involves a lot of money. And that is that there's been a strain now for a strain of political thought for, you know, 15 years or more that to raise taxes was political suicide.
This series could leave you with the idea that education funding shouldn't be discussed in the political arena. But University of Illinois Government and Public Affairs Professor James Ward says there's no other appropriate place.
We tend to have this myth in American society that education is not political. And I don't buy that particular viewpoint. Anything that consumes 25% of state and local fiscal resources, which public elementary and secondary education does, is political. It should be political because those kinds of decisions need to be made through the political process. So the answer is not to somehow make education less political. It's to learn how to play the political game.
Ward says the current situation is bad and will get worse if it's not fixed, because there's another crisis coming down the pike.
We have a crumbling school infrastructure in the state of Illinois. We have old buildings, buildings that are beginning to literally fall down, that need major renovation or need replacement, and we're talking about something that's going to cost billions and billions of dollars to upgrade the physical plant of Illinois public schools.
State Board of Education spokeswoman Kim Knauer says schools who have diverted money from their building funds to pay for educational programs are already affected.
We had a teacher of the year about 5 years ago who visited a school, an elementary school, and the faculty was holding a reception because this teacher of the year was there, and paint was flaking off the ceiling and falling into the around the coffee cups that they had out for the reception, so they had to move the table.
One answer to the infrastructure problem could come from the federal government. Senator Mosley Braun's Special Assistant Lerone Bennett believes the Education Infrastructure Act could help repair America's schools.
It's called the Education Infrastructure Act, and Senator Mosley Braun's Education Infrastructure Act was incorporated into the Improvement of America's Schools Act of 1994, and the law authorizes federal grants to school districts to repair, severely dilapidated school facilities.
Any funding reform has to finish in Springfield, but it doesn't have to start there. Governor Edgar hopes voters will keep the pressure on.
What needs to be done are individual citizens need to let legislators know that they want to see assistance be provided to education and improvement in education.
If a school doesn't have enough money, it still has to educate its students. The school funding situation is complex and affects the entire state. But if educators want to change things, they have to do what they have always done: persevere. I'm Cameron Klein.
Since the completion of this series, the state passed a fourth version of Governor Edgar's reform bill. The bill, which was voted on during a special legislative session, allocates $607 million to Illinois schools. Taxes on cigarettes, riverboat casinos, telephone calls, and heftier penalties on late income tax filers will raise $485 million, while the remaining $122 million will come out of the state's budget. Governor Edgar is very proud of the law because it benefits the districts that need it most.
Particularly in downstate Illinois, where you don't have the economic base to support the schools at a minimal level that the Eikenberry Commission found was needed to provide the opportunity to a quality education in this state. So you have 700,000 school children in those schools in downstate Illinois that will definitely benefit.
The law also establishes a minimum funding level and allocates $3 billion in state and local money for capital improvements. Illinois school districts will see increased funding, a smaller gap between rich and poor school districts, and money to upgrade their buildings. Today, things are in good shape. But what about tomorrow? The answer to that question can only come from Illinois voters, because they have to demand the qualitational system that will take us into the next millennium.